Welcome to the Business Blueprint. I'm your host, Joe Sandeen, along with my partner in crime, Clay Craby. Well, last week we had a great conversation with Kendra in Brooklyn from OnSharp talking about the younger generation and what they're looking for from employers, and learned a lot of great stuff. I think in this world of business, we have a lot of great young people coming through the ranks, and we're going to need them in our organizations as our next generations move on and we bring in great young talent. But today we're going to move to a little bit different topic. So pivoting in your business, I think it's a relevant topic in today's world, especially with everything changing in AI and all the disruption. It just feels like a very interesting time in the world, in the business world. And so we're going to talk about pivoting, you know, knowing when and how to make a major shift in your business. You know, I've experienced several pivots over 26 years at OnSharp. Early in the business, I did a pivot from focusing on education when I kind of first started to moving more towards focusing on small business. And then we had a period in between 2010 and 2015 when we made a pivot towards more social media oriented services and can learn a lot from that. And then we ended up pivoting back to kind of our core, which is custom software development. But pivoting is not easy. Pivoting is a tough thing to do in a business, and it's a scary thing to do. So Clay and I are going to kind of talk our way through that, understanding what, you know, knowing when to pivot, what it looks like, you know, and a lot of things like that. So Clay, I'm going to kind of let you take over. I've got a little bit of a cough that I'm recovering from. So Clay's going to lead the conversation and ask me questions. And I'm going to kind of, I think, talk through our journey at OnSharp of a lot of the pivoting we've done and what we've learned through that. So Clay, why don't you take it away?
Yeah. And when we're talking about pivot, I mean, we're really talking about businesses paying attention to where either the market's going, maybe any internal parts of their operation that can be improved and making significant changes. We're not talking small changes, but we're also not talking like a complete turnaround, a completely new business under the same name or something like that. So to start things off, could you just maybe define what we're talking about when we're talking about a pivot in your business?
Yeah, I think it's just really looking, you know, I think there's kind of two lenses you can see it from. You can either pivot because of maybe some kind of an internal desire, or maybe it's externally market driven or driven by your client's needs. So internally, you know, you might decide to pivot because you just don't love what you do anymore. You just want to change the kind of service you provide, you know, again, under the same name, maybe it's the same clients, but you just want to change the kind of services you offer. And I think what's very common, especially going on now in the market, is you're just seeing the market shift very rapidly and quickly, and you need to pivot to stay competitive, to stay alive, to stay relevant. I think that's a pivot that many businesses are considering right now is, wow, we really just need to adapt what we do, how we do it, what our processes are, and really just kind of change and reinvent, you know, how we do business. So I think that's probably the more common play as far as what a pivot would look like.
Yeah, I think adapting is a good word because it sounds a little bit more intentional. You're paying attention to what's going on out in the marketplace, paying attention to what's going on with your customer base, and then making some intentional decisions on, hey, we need to do something different in order to maintain strength, in order to grow, in order to, you know, get over a plateau. You're always, as a business owner, going to have to make changes along the way, right?
Yeah, and I think you feel it. You know, maybe it takes some time, but I think as a business owner, you can feel when a pivot becomes necessary because you start feeling friction. Maybe it becomes harder to bring on new clients. Things just don't feel right. Maybe your customer satisfaction scores start going down. And again, technology changes. So, you know, new things come to market and you realize, like, okay, our customers are asking for these things. So I think the signs are normally pretty obvious. I think the question just becomes, are you going to listen to those signs and make those adjustments? Or are you going to get stuck being who you've been, you know, and risk, you know, things getting tougher for your business to keep moving forward?
Yeah, because you could be doing everything great. The customer could be happy, but maybe some disruption. Like you mentioned at the outset, AI comes in. A lot of businesses have to evaluate, hey, how are we going to respond to this really disruptive technology, new expectations, all of these things. So there's lots of reasons that companies have for pivoting when the time is right. You mentioned some kind of historical moments in OnSharp's history where you've had to pivot, but we're actually in the early stages of a pivot right now. Do you want to give a little bit of a recap about what's going on at OnSharp?
Yeah. So for many years, we've talked about how we build a lot of the same solutions for a lot of our clients. So we build a lot of custom software, a lot of portals specifically. So our clients who are interacting with their dealers, their customers, their partners, their employees, we've built a lot of custom portals and systems for our clients to have those interactions, to keep track of all the information and whatnot. And through all the years of us doing that, we've obviously seen a lot of commonality. We've seen a lot of features that we've built for many of our customers. And so from an efficiency perspective, we've been looking at that and saying, it really might make more sense for us to, still continue to do custom development, because we still have a lot of our clients that have very specific needs that are not necessarily transferable to our entire client base. But there are a lot of features and a lot of things that we build that are very common in the business world, and that we think that our clients could benefit from. So as far as OnSharp, we've started making a pivot to diversifying our revenue stream so that we have a portion of our revenue coming from our custom development work. But then we're building out, and we've just launched actually two different portal products. One is a client portal and one is an employee portal. And then that gives our sales team a solution that, if we're talking to a prospect and what they need is a very well-defined common need that we've built into our product, it makes a lot more sense to talk about bringing them onto the product with maybe a little bit of customization versus, starting from scratch and building something from the ground up.
Yeah, and I think we'll get into this along the way in this conversation, but like a successful pivot, a wise pivot, you're not getting away from your core competency. This is not us opening, a pizza restaurant. This is born out of what we do year in and year out, multiple times for multiple clients. It's a proven value to companies that we work with. We know that there's a market for these things, and we're able to see, hey, this would open us up to probably a broader set of potential clients who are just going to be in maybe that smaller to mid-range size business that aren't going to purchase custom software. That's just not where they're at in the life cycle of their business, and yet they have these same needs. Well, we can take our expertise, package that in a way that makes it available to them at more of a subscription-based model instead of having all that upfront cost burden that might be important and necessary for a larger, more enterprise-level company, but that's just going to be out of reach for them.
Yeah, and I think the key is we're listening to the customer. We're listening what they're telling us. We're understanding what they need, what their budgets are. And so we're just trying to do a better job of having solutions available to meet the demands of more of our customers. Every business doesn't have the budget necessarily to build a custom development project, nor do they need to use that budget.
Right.
And using something that is already existing off the shelf makes more sense.
So all companies need to pivot along the way. Not all companies do pivot along the way. So why do some business leaders, entrepreneurs, businesses as a whole, why do they resist pivoting when things are becoming clear that it's really time for them to make a move in one direction or another?
Honestly, I think a lot of business owners just get comfortable. I think they have a business and it's working well enough, and they don't feel like they have to do it, because pivoting is a lot of work. So I think the biggest thing that keeps most businesses from pivoting to kind of get to that next level is just complacency. They just kind of are okay with status quo.
Yeah, and for me at least, and maybe somebody else comes to mind for you, is Blockbuster. You've got this huge disruptive technology coming through with being able to stream movies, and Blockbuster is locked into their physical location-based, come in, browse what's on the shelves, rent a DVD, bring it back late, get charged. That model that they were arguably the best at, they really got stuck in that mindset and resisted kind of venturing into streaming when there's really no reason that Blockbuster could not have become the number one streaming service that's out there. And instead we got something like Netflix coming on the scene, and Blockbuster. I mean, you can't go to Blockbuster. I think there's literally one Blockbuster in some small town in Alaska right now.
Yeah. And I think that's a good example of the difference between, hey, we want to pivot because we want to be something different, versus we need to pivot because the market demands it. And so Blockbuster didn't listen to the market. they thought that, you know, they were the big gorilla. They thought they could do whatever they want, and they were late to the game to even think about streaming, and it killed them. So that is, I think, the biggest risk in your business is you have to look at, like, one of the worst things you can do is just kind of turn a blind eye to what your customer is asking for and just keep doing the same old stuff. And eventually the clients are just going to get tired of it. They're going to move on to something different. And your resistance to pivoting is going to be, you know, potentially the downfall of the business. So,
yeah, we're going to get more into this on the other side of the break. This is the Business Blueprint Show. We're talking about the importance of pivoting in your business. When we come back for our next segment, we're going to talk about how to recognize when it is time to make a change. We'll see you in just a minute. Welcome back to the Business Blueprint. We're having a conversation about the importance of pivoting in your business, how to do it well, how to know when it's time to do it, and how to communicate that to your customers. And really, it's all about knowing when is the time right for going in a new direction with your business. And we're not necessarily talking it's a complete 180. It's a whole new business. It might be a new market that you're going after. It might be an additional service or product. It might be a change in the way that you deliver that product. There's lots of different types of pivots. But the thing that every business is going to have is times where they're going to need to make a change. And the question becomes, how do they know when it's time to consider a pivot? Because we know it's going to be a cost. It's going to take a lot of energy. It might take some resources. There might be opportunity costs where you've got to go focus on a new thing instead of what your core business is. So they want to make sure the time's right. Joe, what are some signals that it may be time to consider a pivot in your business?
I think one of the obvious ones is just changes in buyer behavior. So, you know, your customers are telling you they want something different. I mean, that's pretty obvious. So, I think that's the clear driver. I think another one that we haven't referenced yet is sometimes you need to diversify where your revenue is coming from. Maybe you look internally at the business and you just have a lot of revenue concentration in one product or service or just one area. And so you're just kind of looking to diversify and just kind of like minimize your risk. I think those are two major ones. And then again, the third one that I mentioned earlier is maybe your passion just changes too. Maybe there's, you know, you've been doing the same thing for a long time and you decide you're getting burned out or you just don't love that exact service. And again, not like you're reinventing the company, but maybe you just want to change where you sit in the value chain or, you know, like just kind of what position your business is in within the model that you already have. So I think those are kind of three of the main drivers. And then like we've said too, with AI and technology, sometimes you're just forced to. Sometimes the market just changes on you and you're not going to survive if you stay who you were. And so a pivot becomes a requirement of surviving and thriving in the business.
Yeah, it's really about trying to look ahead, right? You want to make sure that you're being proactive. You're trying to see where trends are going and trying to decide, okay, is there enough opportunity to justify a change? And is there enough risk about staying and staying complacent, staying just where we are right now? So it's a little bit of a dual equation going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, unless the market's forcing you to pivot, you know, again, you don't have to. And so I think, you know, if you're making a conscious, proactive decision to make a pivot, you have to understand why you're doing it strategically, you know, what you're going to change, what your plan is. Because when you pivot a business, you know, everyone's impacted. You know, all your employees have to understand where the business is going. I think that speaks to, you have to be very clear about, you know, is your core focus staying the same? Is it changing? Is your ideal customer profile changing in the course of your pivot? Your target market, your messaging, like there's a lot of things that can either change a little or change a lot when you make a pivot. So I think communications is an important piece, both internally with your existing employees so they understand where the business is going and why. And then you have to kind of plan out, you know, what that communication looks like externally too, if you're going to appear, you know, to be a different kind of business offering different services to your clients.
Yeah. And there's certainly different degrees of pivots. There's some small things. There's really, you know, large scale pivots. And so if there's one ditch where companies just, they never change, they never pivot, they just kind of stay where they're at until they eventually die. There's probably a lot of companies too that are constantly just ping ponging and going from one thing to the next. So how can you distinguish between a real opportunity from just distraction?
Great question, because over pivoting or changing every morning when you wake up can be really detrimental and really unstable and stressful to your employees. I think you have to, again, you have to go back to, like, look at your roots in the business. who you are, why you get up every morning, your core services. And, you know, really, I think a pivot is kind of like a change in a core service. Like, obviously, businesses are adapting and evolving all the time. So, like, I wouldn't call every change in your business a pivot per se. But if you're really going to change, like, how you speak and what you offer, again, maybe to the same clients, but it's just it's different or it's something new that they're going to have to become aware of and understand that, that you now do this. I think that's an appropriate pivot. And then I think you just got to be careful. You can't really afford to pivot too many times, and you just have to be very methodical about it and do it in a well thought out way and plan it ahead of time with your team. I think doing, you know, flavor of the month kind of pivoting is a detrimental thing to get into that trap.
Yeah, because there is a cost. There is relational capital that you are spending either internally with your employees or as a brand. You are hopefully building up some trust with, again, whether internal or external audience. And as you make pivots, you're spending a little bit of that capital. And so you want to be able to do it strategically. You want to be wise about when you pivot and how you pivot.
Yeah, there's a major cost, and it's distracting. I mean, especially if you're continuing to do a lot of the services that you've already done. So take Onshore, for example. So we're not getting away from custom development. We're just trying to add some product sets to what we do. Again, still targeting the same customer, still offering the similar type of solution, just a different way of packaging and delivering it to the client. So we've had to incur a lot of cost in taking some of our development resources and building out these products, making them, you know, configured and hosted in a way that they can, you know, be done without doing it the custom development route. And so that obviously takes people off the bench that could be working on client work that's custom development, you know, projects, and putting it into a product that we're going to have to go to market and see what the product market fit is. I mean, we know that we have a certain amount of product market fit of our clients, you know, what projects they've done with us and telling us what they want. But like, you never hit the nail on the head. Like you gotta go out to the market with that pivot and that new product or service, and you have to see how the market responds. And you're not going to hit it probably 100% right out of the gate. So you're going to do like some minor pivoting, you know, along with your initial pivot. So it's a process, and it can take some time.
Yeah. And it just actually reminds me of an earlier conversation we had when we were talking about EOS, which, for a reminder, is the entrepreneurial operating system. Is just a structure for running your business. And there's a lot of importance given to just really understanding the why behind your business. What is your mission really in that business? And if you're focused on that versus, hey, who are we? Well, we do this one service. We offer this one product. If you have a broader purpose, if your goal as a business, as OnSharp, is to help other businesses achieve greater success. If you are maybe in some sort of financial world and your goal is to help, you know, family farms protect and preserve and pass that farm on to the next generation of farmers, whatever that might look like, you can see that there's opportunities to pivot in that and really stay true to who you are as a company. And that really helps a lot, doesn't it? When you're talking about building a brand reputation and even some marketing assets, probably, if you can still operate under that same brand promise that you have, that pivot's going to make a lot more sense, isn't it?
Yeah. And again, getting back to, you know, what's your why, what's your core focus? And I don't think your core focus has to change. Like at OnSharp, we still wake up every day saying, hey, we're trying to help businesses become more successful. And we do that through technology. But then as far as, you know, analyzing a pivot, we're just changing and adding ways in which we feel like we can do that. So we're, sometimes pivot's maybe not the perfect word. Like, again, you're more just adding tools to the tool belt of what you can do. So sometimes I try to wrestle with, you know, like, is pivot the right word or not necessarily, depending on what you're doing. But really, you know, with major changes in your business, you have to keep your why the same, but then what you're doing, you know, what you're providing to the end customer is adapting and evolving. And then I think the key is just understanding how that changes how you operate internally and then how you message externally.
Yeah, and that might actually be kind of a rubric for business owners, for entrepreneurs to use, is this pivot I'm considering, can I still do that and keep the same overarching mission of who we are as a company, or is it radically different? And if it's radically different, that's a different category. That's not a pivot anymore, and that's something you probably really want to approach slowly.
Yeah, and it probably depends on where you're at in the journey of your business. So I think if you're a startup and you're getting out to market with a product or a service and you're realizing that you didn't hit the nail on the head and what you're trying to sell or market isn't what people want, I think there's no limit to how drastic you might have to pivot to find your product market fit. But when you have an existing business like ours that's been around for 26 years, making a pivot does not have to, you know, be like you're reinventing and starting all over. If I was going to do that, I'd probably just start a new entity and hire new people and keep OnSharp the way it was and start a new venture. So I think a pivot looks different depending on the maturity of the business for sure.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we've talked about the need for the importance of pivoting as a business, and we've just looked at some of the signals that are out there that might indicate that it's time for a pivot. When we come back after the break here, we're going to continue our conversation about pivoting your business and look at how do you do this without destabilizing your core business in the meantime. So we'll be right back for the Business Blueprint. Welcome back to the Business Blueprint. We're having a conversation about how businesses can successfully navigate a pivot in the way that they operate, the way that they serve their customers. And this is something that business leaders can be hesitant to do because they don't want to destabilize things that are working well now. Not every pivot is because things aren't working. Things might be working great, but you're looking forward and you're seeing that some changes might be necessary. And you want to do this in a way that you don't destabilize your core business. So what's the biggest mistake, Joe, that business leaders make when trying to attempt a pivot in their business?
Well, I think the first mistake you can make is not doing your homework and your research first. So you might want to be a certain kind of business, but if the market doesn't want that or need that, I think that's a risky thing to pivot to. So I think before you even get started, you got to make sure you do your homework and understand, like, is this the right, are we seeing the signals that would tell us this is a good pivot to make? Secondly, you know, again, speaking from OnSharp experience, protecting our core business is kind of our number one priority. So in making this pivot to wanting to, you know, diversify and drive more of our business through product sales versus custom development work, we still need the custom development component of our business to be strong. And so I think the biggest mistake you can make is like neglecting the things that you need to do to kind of cross the chasm and make it to the other side. So when we decided to start working on our client and employee portal products, we understood how important it was to maintain the stability of the business and the team and keep everyone busy. And so between operations, sales, and marketing, we worked hard together to understand, okay, what are our expectations? What does sales need to be able to do? How long is this pivot going to take? And really just do a good job planning it out. So again, protecting the core business and understanding like what the risks are and what our timeline looks like and kind of the deliverables that we need to hit was a very key component going into our pivot.
Yeah. And in terms of thinking through mistakes, speak to speed a little bit. What's the line here? How can they approach a pivot well? Is this something you want to go slow in, something you want to rip off like a Band-Aid? What's the best method?
Man, you know, it really does depend. I mean, every business has a situation that's different. I think if the market's forcing you to pivot, you might have to move a lot quicker than you want to. And so you can't control the speed and you just have to try to respond. I think when you're making a pivot under your own control, obviously slower and more methodical makes more sense. I always love to move fast. So like I have to be careful not to like create too much chaos when we pivot. But you just have to do, again, appropriate game planning and understanding, okay, what's a reasonable expectation for timeline? What needs to be done 90 days, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years out. I think you need to be patient. I think what's probably going to happen is you're going to have this vision of what your pivot's going to look like, and it's just not going to shake out to be what you hoped it would be. It's going to take longer. It's going to have more road bumps, more detours than you maybe planned for, and you have to be prepared to handle that as well.
Yeah, it's probably not be as smooth as it is on paper, right?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, everything will just go perfectly, but it never does, and I've over 26 years and in several different pivots throughout the years, I've always realized like it's never as easy and glamorous as I hoped it would be.
Yeah. So let's take the example of OnSharp. We've mentioned this earlier in the conversation. So for the last over 25 years. We got a quarter century of providing custom software development, which in internet years is like 1,000 years. It's a long time to be doing anything in tech.
Yep.
And now we're introducing more of a productized model, a SaaS product, a software as a service product. But we, on our end, we want to make sure that we are protecting and still serving our existing customers. So how do businesses do that? How do you make sure that if you're introducing a new service, changing maybe the model that you deliver, whether it's your product or service or whatever else, how do you protect your existing customers during a shift?
Well, you have to make sure they understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. And so I think good messaging is key. I think the longer time horizon you can give your clients to understand and adapt with you, the better. I think if you surprise them with a really hard, quick pivot and all of a sudden they feel like you're a different company the next morning when they woke up, then you kind of put them in a situation where they literally have to decide if they want to do business with you anymore. So communication is key. I think, you know, plan a year out, you know, start helping your clients understand this is where we're going. This is why we're doing it. This is how it's going to benefit you. And then get their feedback too. I think you're going to learn along the way that the way in which you think you're supposed to pivot maybe isn't exactly the way you should. And getting client feedback is going to be really helpful.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that too. And even internal feedback. So real world example for us, we make this change, we make some changes to the website, we start doing some different marketing assets and things like that. But then the real world feedback internally is Kendra, who was on the last episode, says, hey, on the phone, some people are getting confused because I'm talking to them about custom dev, but now it's not quite aligned with that on, you know, top above the fold on the homepage. That stuff still existed on the site.
Yep.
It's never as clear to a different person as it is to you as the marketer, the business owner. And so we're making some changes, like literally right now as we speak, we've got Brooklyn making some changes to the website to make sure that that confusion isn't there. So communicate. You can't over-communicate, but you really need to be listening so that you can make, I hate to overuse the word pivot, but so you make some micro changes along the way to make sure that you're doing that well.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, you're not going to hit the nail on the head right away. And I think the worst thing you can do is be afraid to make a mistake, and so then you never pivot because yeah. You're worried about, you know, oh, what if we do this wrong? And people start judging us like, dude, everyone makes mistakes, and you just have to, I'm a big fan of just, we got to go for it. You're always making decisions off the information that you have at your disposal. And so as you get further and further down the train track and you have more information, you understand better of which direction you're supposed to be going, you just keep making those minor adjustments and you get there. And so don't be afraid of making mistakes. Don't be afraid of, you know, stumbling a little bit as you move through your pivot. I mean, that's, at the end of the day, you can't build in a silo forever. At some point, you have to introduce what you're doing to the market and see how they respond, and then you have to adapt from there. And in unwillingness to do that just means you're never going to be able to pull it off, and you're just going to get stuck, kind of, I think, in that mode that we talked about at the very beginning of some business owners just never pivot, never change because
yep.
They're just comfortable and they're risk averse. And that's okay, too. I mean, I'm not saying that every business has to make a pivot, and if that's what you want, that's fine. But if you want to continually progress forward in your business and stay aggressive, I think you have to be open to that risk of jumping in the water, jumping the deep end and see how it goes and just figure it out as you go.
Yeah. If your mindset is wait until you're fully ready, you're never going to do it. By the time you launch, it will be too late. You will have missed whatever wave you were trying to ride. You're going to miss, you know, getting out of the way of some, you know, disruption in the industry that you were trying to avoid, whatever that might be. You're going to be too late if you wait until everything is lining up perfectly and you're 100% ready.
Yeah. So like a good example with our employee portal, I mean, we knew pretty much what we needed to build in a first version. And my goal was get an MVP, minimum viable product, put together. And we have to get this out to the market and we have to see how the market beyond our existing client base responds to it. And so part of what we did is we built a lot of our initial employee portal either based on what we had built for existing clients before in their custom development projects or based on things that we needed at OnSharp internally. So like we're no different. We have an employee base that has needs and different systems and interactions. And so actually the beginning of our employee portal kind of started at our hackathon last year as, you know, solving a couple time entry problems and a few other things that we had internally. And that kind of became the initial seed of the start of the employee portal. So again, you just got to start, get it out there, and then you just mature as you go.
Yeah. And so you got to be willing to make a move. I remember, you know, watching a documentary on Ernest Shackleton, famous polar explorer, and he had a line about they sacrificed total preparedness for speed. In their instance, they had to go fast. They're going to freeze to death.
Yep.
In terms of what their original plan was before they got stuck on the ice. But you could either be prepared for any and all eventualities, and you're going to go too slow to make it to where you need to be going, or you can sacrifice some total preparedness in order to gain speed. And trying to find that balance is something that sort of the hard work that business owners and business leaders have to do.
Yeah.
And as we're thinking through pivots and trying to mitigate some of that risk, are there ways that you can test before fully committing?
Yes, you can. There's a lot of different ways that you can do market testing to see if your messaging is going to work, to see if your customers are going to want what you're pivoting to. I'm a big fan of even before you build anything or change anything, do some almost like experimentation marketing and, you know, run some digital ads to some landing pages. You can determine if there seems to be product market fit, you know, for the pivot you're trying to make. The other thing, just go talk to your customers. If you're an existing business and you have hundreds and hundreds of customers, just get on the phone, meet them in person, you know, create an advisory board. Like, I think a lot of business owners are afraid to talk. I think they like to just kind of keep everything inside the four walls and make decisions on your own. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes you can make, because you're going to build what you think everyone wants. You're not going to build what you know everyone wants. And the best way to figure that out is just go out and talk to people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to test a little bit. You can't just go in blind, say it out loud to some people, see how they react. We picked on Blockbuster a little bit earlier with, you know, waiting to go into streaming. But do you remember Quixter, when Netflix announced, before streaming was really taken off, that they're going to spin off Netflix, their DVD by mail, they're going to rebrand it as Quixter.
I think I do remember that.
Yeah, it was going to be its own separate service. You were going to have to choose subscriptions, two logins. Everybody was still like 80% into DVDs by mail, and there was like three guys that were streaming stuff. It was a disaster, absolute disaster. If they would have maybe had some more conversations ahead of time, they could avoid it. So there is such a thing as jumping in too quickly. There's also, of course, the thing about being too reluctant to move when you need to move.
Well, yeah, and again, to counter that point, I mean, could they have done better research and maybe made a better decision come out of the gate? Yeah, but who cares? They went out. Everyone was like, what the heck's going on? But they adjusted, right? They didn't just stick to it.
So,
don't be afraid to get a little bit embarrassed or to, you know, to hear no or to have people laugh at you. Like, you have to be vulnerable. I think that's a big thing. I think a lot of business owners just maybe have too much pride. They don't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to look like they made a bad decision. And, you know, and I'm 46. I'm over that. I'm not the smartest guy in the room all the time, but I think what I do a good job of is listening to what people are saying and determining what the need is in the market off of that, and not thinking that every idea has to come out of my own head. So,
yeah, absolutely. So that's a little bit about really what it's going to take for you to navigate a pivot well, not destabilize your current business. We're going to take a break here, but when we come back, we're going to look at what the mindset needs to be for business leaders, entrepreneurs, CEOs about how to successfully pivot. We'll be right back for the Business Blueprint. Welcome back to the show. We've been having a conversation about pivoting in your business, making changes when you feel that the market's signaling, your customers are signaling, there's new opportunities, whatever might really influence that decision, but the need to move when you need to move and make some changes that can be healthy for your business. So in our last segment here, we want to talk about the mindset that's necessary for doing this. We've talked about the reasons that business owners might hesitate to do this, the risk of it, just really getting complacent. But we want to talk about, you know, some of the skills, those ideas that can be developed to make you a little bit more ready to make changes when that is necessary in your business. So, Joe, can you share a little bit about, you know, how should business owners think about risk as a whole when it comes to the need for pivoting or avoiding pivoting?
Yeah, you know, there's obviously risk in the unknown in making a pivot in your business and kind of, you know, destabilizing what you're doing. But I think there's an equally large risk in standing still at the same time. So I think you have to, again, you have to look at where the industry's going and where you're trying to go in your business and decide, you know, is standing still what we need to be doing, or do we need to be pivoting and adjusting? And again, I think most businesses, they get stuck and they struggle because they are afraid to change. They're afraid to pivot. They're afraid to respond to, you know, what the market's telling them, or maybe they just don't know. I mean, I think what you have to look at too is maybe, you know, maybe you need to bring in some help and a consultant or somebody to help you understand, you know, how you should be pivoting. You know, I think as we get older, we're not always in tune with exactly what the customer wants, and you might need to get some help. So, like, you know, put your ego aside. You know, I talk to a lot of people, a lot of other business owners. I talk to business coaches, and I'm always looking for advice because I never think that I know everything. So I think strategically, just humble yourself and be willing to take in a lot of different opinion. But ultimately, you're going to have to make the decision yourself. You're going to have to digest all that information and take in all the advice. And then, you know, there's going to be risk in any decision. So, like, ultimately, the buck stops with you on which direction you're going to go. But then once you make a decision, I mean, you got to commit to it. You know, you can't be one foot in, one foot out. You can't be looking at it like, yeah, oh, well, if we get some good initial signals, we'll do it. But if it gets a little, you know, dicey, then we'll just, you know, jump back over to where we came from. I think you have to be committed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to say what you point out there is, you know, it might not be some character flaw in the business owner that leads them to not pivot. And then they get this risk of not moving. They're busy. They're running their business. So you don't always have a lot of time to be evaluating what else is out there, paying attention to market signals. How can you develop maybe some of those muscles so that you are a little bit more aware of these signals that could potentially be coming in that help you evaluate these things?
Yeah, I think that's where we can go back to, you know, when we talk about EOS to working on versus in the business. I think a lot of business owners get stuck working deep in the business with like 100% of their time, and they never get an opportunity to come back up to that 30, 40, 50,000 foot view and work on the business strategically. So I think if I had a piece of advice for business owners is if you feel like you're stuck deep in the business and you're just stuck in all the minutia and the detail, I think you need to delegate and elevate yourself. You need to find, you know, some additional resources. You got to let some things go so that you can spend some time being strategic in your business. And that's where you'll be able to spot the shifts and the trends and where the opportunities lie when you're taking more of a macro view than always being stuck in the micro.
Yeah. So as we try to kind of evaluate what we've covered and what ground we've talked about here in relation to pivoting for your business, what do you think is the biggest lesson for business owners that are listening when it comes to these issues?
Biggest lesson, I think, is standing still. I think the biggest lesson that you learn, if you're trying to grow a business, I mean, if you have a stable business and you're just going to ride it into the sunset for as long as it lasts, you're probably never going to pivot, and that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying that every business has to do that, but if you're trying to grow an organization, you're trying to build something great, you have to be willing to take that risk, and you just do it well. Just be as informed as you can be. Build a good team around you. I think that's another big thing. Don't do it alone if you don't have to. I think a key to a strong pivot is having the right team members, people that are open to change, people that are willing to take risks. And, you know, you just have to have a good culture of, hey, we're in this together. We're going to make mistakes together, but we're going to navigate our way through it.
Yeah, and you've mentioned that a couple of times in this conversation of being willing to make some mistakes and tolerate that it's not going to go as perfectly as it looks on paper, and just to get over that and understand that there's going to be needs for changes along the way. So what would that look like even for OnSharp? We've got our custom software development. That's our core business. We're adding this employee portal product to that. What are some tangible ways that we're going to really listen and adapt and evaluate as we push forward?
Yeah, again, for us, my big desire was we have to get out to the market and get validation. So, like, my biggest fear was we keep everything internally too long, we build it too far before we let it out. And, you know, if we keep building and building and building and never getting it out to the market to test it, we keep putting all this money and energy into something that we haven't determined if it's proven yet. So my big desire was, guys, let's just, what's the biggest, most important thing to me is the line in the sand that we can draw to say, okay, we're out to market. We're going to start calling on people, going to trade shows, working leads, and we're going to learn whether we nailed it perfectly or we're only 20% there or 50% there, because I don't care where we are. Now we at least have a line in the sand and we know that we have a point where we can move forward from. So I think just being afraid to get out there and be wrong is something that you don't want to do, because it's going to hold you back, and you've just got to put yourself out there, take risk, put your ego aside, like I've said before.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, the big takeaway on this conversation is that the strong businesses, they don't pivot just because they're struggling. They pivot because they're paying attention. And that would be our encouragement, is just to be paying attention and taking these signals in and seeing if a pivot is in your future. Well, that does it for this episode of the Business Blueprint Show. As always, you can hit the businessblueprintshow.com to find other episode or submit a question. And if you're interested in that employee portal product that we talked about, head over to onsharp.com. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.